We greet you in the holy name of Jesus Christ as we open this weekly program from Words of Life. Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers sponsor Words of Life in order to share the good news of Jesus. As we learn more about Jesus, I'm sure that you want to know more of His will for your life. Today, Brother David Johnson will use as his sermon topic, the knowledge of His will, based upon Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. We will hear this great blessing in a few minutes, but first we present songs of praise for our Lord.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms about me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
Please Please pray with me as you have opportunity. Holy Father, we come before you in prayer through your Son, Jesus. Please use every part of this broadcast so that we can be more willing to follow Jesus. Bless each of our listeners with your peace, healing, and convictions that are right. Help each one who is faithfully following you. And as followers of Jesus, we look forward to his return, just as is promised in your word. Thank you for this great hope, and thank you for allowing us to call you Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present The Knowledge of His Will.
It's a privilege to be together again with you to be able to share the Word of God, and certainly for all of us to apply it to our lives, to share its principles, promises, and prophecies to others. The title for the lesson is The Knowledge of His Will, and the text is taken from the New Testament, the Colossian letter, chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Please listen to the Word of God. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. This is the Word of God. May He add His blessing to the public reading and the incorporation of His Word into our hearts, minds, and lives. One of the great challenges in our Christian lives is to properly discern God's will, especially in our more difficult decisions. For example, who should I marry? Or should I stay single? What career or job should I pursue? Or change jobs or careers? Should I buy or rent? Buy a new or used car? Should I move or stay where I am? Is it time to downsize? Should I seek this medical treatment or not? These and many other decisions usually come up in life for most of us. To know God's will is great wisdom. To do God's will is great achievement. To have God's will confirmed is great peace. Blessed are we who can achieve all three. But does God really care about our, quote, non-spiritual decisions? Most decisions have consequences, good or bad. And yes, God does care. For believers, God is our Father. We are sons and daughters, and God cares about our interactions, about our decisions, about our lives. I had someone ask me, well, why doesn't God just pop His will into our brains? The short answer is, He can. But usually, and generally, discerning God's will comes as a result of a growing personal relationship with the living God. It's a process. It takes time to really effectively and properly discern God's will, which involves seeking Him through prayer, searching the Scriptures, and as we mature, trusting in our Lord. Finding the knowledge of His will is not just about information, but about our growing transformation to honor our God's will as our will. It's about having a closer spiritual intimacy with our Lord, which brings discernment into His will for our lives. It's similar to our growing knowledge, our growing experience and intimacy with our spouses, or even parents, that gives us greater insight and discernment into our mutual wills for our lives. So the closer we've become with our God brings His will into focus more vividly in our minds. Consider the inspired words of the Apostle Paul to the Colossian Christians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9 says in part, "Asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." This affirms that born again, Spirit-indwelt Christians can obtain knowledge, spiritual wisdom, and understanding of God's will. This can come through intercessory prayer by believers for other believers, or by our own prayers, asking God for discernment into His will. This knowledge of God's will for our lives is not merely possession of facts, but rather God's wisdom that is practical, having to do with godly living. Understanding here relates to our God-given ability to apply life's issues to God's will. This is affirmed by the very next verse in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, which says in part, "And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way." God's primary, overarching will is that we live in a way which is consistent, persistent, with being a true Christian, a disciple, a follower, a learner of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Master. This consistency is exhibited, proven, in our life's decisions, our attitudes and actions. As the latter part of Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 states, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Spiritual fruit or proof or evidence is the byproduct of living in God's will. Spiritual fruit revealed in the Bible are, for example, godly virtues, Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23, which include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These 9 key representative godly virtues directly apply in most, if not all, of our daily challenges and decision-making. For example, in choosing a lifetime spouse or mate, we should ask ourselves, is there genuine love, even sacrificial love, that is potential by both toward one another? Is there real joy in each other's company? Can we discern faithfulness and self-control in each? Moreover, we should search the Scripture, asking God to fill us with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And here is God's will regarding marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 39 says in part, "She is free to marry anyone she wishes, but he must belong to the Lord." Meaning, God's will is that Christians only marry other genuine Christians, whether they have been widowed or are single. In discerning God's will in a particular decision, we may not have a specific answer, but there are general principles There is guidance in the Scriptures, enabling us to discern God's will. Some general principles. For example, number one, we must honor God's moral will always, meaning it is always contrary to God's will to do anything immoral or sinful. For example, to be dishonest or deceitful in preparing our tax returns. Number two, we must honor God's word, which is His will. God's word acts as our check and obey, applicable to our decision making. For example, what should we do if someone treats us badly? This is God's word and will. For example, Romans chapter 12, verses 17 through 19. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. A third general principle in discerning God's will: we must exercise God-given common sense. Consider Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, which says, "Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." God has given us brains, and in many life experiences, surely we should learn from our mistakes and exercise common sense to carefully make our decisions and not continue making the same mistakes. That's just common sense. Also, for example, we should weigh all the pros and cons regarding whether to buy or rent, regarding the change in a job or career. We may need to consult a more experienced, mature person to deem wise, to deem wisdom in the matter that we must decide. It's God's will that we be careful, not careless. Careless decisions can especially have bad consequences. Number four, what is it that can confirm God's will in our decisions? Let's apply Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. At conversion to Christ, we all receive peace with God. However, with our compliance, with our obedience to God's will, we receive the peace of God, which confirms we've made the right decision. It's not our peace, but God's peace given to us. If we have no peace, we should continue to seek the Lord in prayer, continue to search the Scriptures, continue to weigh the pros and the cons. Continue until we have God's confirming peace. And by the way, patience is another most important godly fruit as we ask God to fill us with the knowledge of His will. A fifth general principle in discerning the will of God, even the center of the will of God: we should understand that God certainly wants us to know His will in our lives. Consider in the Epistle of James, chapter 1, and verses 5 and 6. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. Here in these two verses, we have a double emphasis that God wants us to know his will. Believing and not doubting means here not only believing in God, but also believing in his loving care, in guiding us into his will regarding our issues and decisions in life. God does not grant our every wish, our every request. But as our Father toward his sons and daughters, he always seeks to direct us in his will, and Father always knows best. We must believe, we must trust, rely upon the fact that God seeks to align our questions, our concerns, with his answers and with his principles. One caution: our emotions can be very persuasive. So, when we just feel good about a decision, we tend to assume that it's God's will. But emotions can be unreliable. For example, how often has a young lady been told by more than one suitor that it was God's will for her to marry him, and him, and him? Obviously, some of her suitors were misled by their emotions. God never makes mistakes, or he wouldn't be God. The Bible does not tell us to rely on our emotions. Instead, it reveals, as according to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Transformed involves a process, not a single event. Renewing of your mind is the Holy Spirit working primarily through our consistent study and personal application of Scripture, working in our minds through our life experiences as the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. Test and approve is that of our ascertaining what is proved as genuinely God's will. Pleasing and perfect will is pleasing to God, perfect in that no improvement can be made on God's will. And finally, you, dear listener, should know that it is always God's will to receive Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. It is always God's will, Christian, to be rededicated to the Lord, living for him in his will.
This is the time, oh, then be wise.
We pray that you are living in the will of Jesus. This is a blessing for you and for others. If you are not yet a Christian, please understand that you need to first really believe in Jesus the Christ. As shown by the book of Acts, you also need to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion. To receive a free recording of this and last week's program, please write to us and ask for CD 1920. That's 1920. We pray that God will bless you in following Him. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. That's Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana, 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wolradio@att.net. That's wolradio@att.net. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs, thanking you for listening. Please plan now to tune in again next week at this same time and station for another program from Words of Life.